as I promised last week, instead of a normal sermon, I have a fairy tale that I want to share with you. It's actually a fairy tale that I wrote about 26 years ago. I was thinking about it, and I remember as I was frantically writing this thing, we had gone to a youth missionary conference, and I wrote this out to teach the junior high group that I was helping to lead at this missionary conference in Pennsylvania that our youth group from L.A. went to. And as I was writing, I remember my son, Peter, was about 7 months old, kind of laying on the bed next to me. I asked him for help as I was writing, and he was gracious to help me write the story as a seven-month-old, added some nice parts. But now my son has his own son who's actually older than that, and so I was reflecting on that. And it's a story about the fruit of the Spirit. That's why I'm going to tell it today. It really is as good as I have to offer about what the fruit of the Spirit is really about, how it works, and the things that we need to think about as we consider the fruit of the Spirit that Paul writes about in Galatians chapter 5. I'm going to read Galatians chapter 5, beginning in verse 19, to the end of the chapter, and then I'm going to read my story. That be okay? Listen to God's word. The acts of the sinful nature, or the deeds of the sinful nature, are obvious. Sexual immorality, impurity, and debauchery. Idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against these things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking and envying each other. And now I have my story to share. Fruit, a gift of God, is given. Marriage of both earth and heaven. Deeds are done, and unlike fruit, don't depend much on the root. In a land not too far from where you live, there was an apple orchard. All of the apple trees in this orchard had their own special place to grow, and together they made perfect rows, down, across, and corner to corner, just like their owner designed. Their deepening roots enjoyed the most delicious soil an apple tree could have. The sun warmed their branches in the winter. The wind cooled their leaves in the summer. And in the fall and spring, the rains came faithfully and abundantly. The apples here were the biggest, juiciest, reddest, and sweetest of all. And when they were ripe and heavy, they fell to the ground where the owner gathered them together in big baskets. In such a place as this, it is not surprising that once, when a certain tiny brown seed fell into a certain small crack in the ground, it was only a short time until a certain small seedling named Little Johnny Appletree stood in its place. The big trees that surrounded Johnny were very proud of him. "Such a fine young tree," they would say. "Soon, Johnny, the finest fruit in the orchard will hang from your branches." This made Johnny feel very good inside, but try as he might, he couldn't make any apples appear on his thin, shiny branches. "That is because you are young," the big trees would tell him. "Sink your roots deep down into the ground, and one day the fruit will come." "But I want to make big, juicy apples now, like you," sighed Johnny. "Not we, but the ground makes the apples," said the biggest, oldest tree in Johnny's row. "Sink your roots," she said. "Yes, sink your roots," all the trees called out. "No," thought Johnny to himself. "Then there will be less of me to hold on to my apples. I will find my own better way. I will be the finest tree in the orchard." So little Johnny ignored his roots and concentrated on stretching his limbs as high as he could and making the biggest, reddest apples ever. Every day he tried his hardest, and every day he failed. "This is no way for such a fine tree as me," he thought. And so the next day he would try even harder. Finally, one bright, blustery day in April, it happened. A little green bud appeared on one of Johnny's lower branches. "Look! Look, everyone," he exclaimed. "There it is! There it is! This will be the biggest, sweetest apple in all the orchard!" But the big trees only smiled, and the biggest tree said, "Sink your roots, young one. Sink your roots." "No," thought Johnny, "I have found a better way." And he concentrated on making his bud quickly grow big. He let other branches stop growing, and his apple did not sweeten. He thinned his trunk, and his fruit remained green and dry. He forgot entirely about his roots, and despite his all-out efforts to keep it, Johnny's apple fell to the ground long before it had a chance to ripen. And there it lay, juiceless, green, and bitter, waiting to wrinkle in the sun and disintegrate. Johnny was so discouraged and ashamed, he bent down his limbs and wept. "Sink your roots," the biggest tree gently whispered, "and no basket will ever be able to contain the wealth of fruit dropping from your branches every year." "Why don't you mind your own branches?" snapped Johnny. And he turned away, so weak and discouraged that his own branches bent all the way down to the ground. All through the night he wept and murmured and tried to figure out why it couldn't have been his fault that his apple had failed. He never felt the gentle wind or heard its voice as it blew through the leaves. Then, just before sunrise, he heard another voice.
"I know your problem," said the voice. "It's the soil, pal, the ground, or my name isn't P.T. Caterpillar."
Johnny looked to his left, and there, about halfway up one of his drooping branches, sat a very odd-looking caterpillar. Splotches of gray and black fur covered his body, which was shaped now like a capital S on its side. At the top of the S was a slightly tilted top hat, shiny and black, under which his unkempt hair stuck out long and straight, as though it were trying to escape. His chin, covered by a scraggly beard, rested on the knotty handle of a crooked cane, which was gripped tightly by the long, bony toes of his frontmost legs. Over this polished cane, his close-set and narrow-slitted eyes peered out from behind thick, round glasses without appearing to see anything. The many wrinkles around his mouth, though, suggested that Mr. Caterpillar's mouth was as active and alive as his eyes were cold and lifeless.
"Phineas Trueblood Caterpillar, my boy," said the mouth, "and I'm here to tell you this is no soil for the finest tree in this miserable orchard."
"How long have you been here?" asked Johnny.
"Well, I've been around just about forever, son, but I strolled up your limb last night. And why? Because you, Jonathan, need help. And I know orchards, or my name isn't Simon Bar Caterpillar."
"Wait," said Johnny. "I thought you said, well, anyway, my name is Little Johnny, not..."
"That's what I mean, friend," interrupted the caterpillar. "You need my help. If you want to be the biggest and best, you've got to think like the biggest and best, and you can't think big with a name like Little Johnny." "Yep, that's for sure, because I've been around just about forever, and I know about names, or my name isn't Augustus Rex Caterpillar."
But I thought..."
"Now, let me see," interrupted the caterpillar again. "Let me see. I have it. Jonathan Delicious Apple Tree the Third. Yes, that should do nicely. From now on, your name shall be Jonathan Delicious Apple Tree the Third. How do you like it?"
"Well, I'm not..."
"Of course, I knew you'd love it. Now pull up your roots and I'll tell you where to take us. I know all the best places to find rich soil and huge shiny apples, or my name isn't Nelson D. Caterpillar. Pull them up, Jonathan. Let's go. We'll walk out of here and on to bigger and better things.
Well, I don't know, said Johnny. I'm not sure trees are supposed to walk.
Nonsense! Utter nonsense, dear boy,
said the caterpillar, rapping his cane against Johnny's soft bark and making a definite impression on him.
Who says trees don't walk? I never argue, but I know my trees. And sure as my name is L. Ron Caterpillar, they walk. That is, if they are strong trees.
I don't know, sighed a confused Johnny.
Are you not, then, a strong tree, Jonathan?
Asked the caterpillar with just the shadow of a smile on his face. Johnny knew the answer to this, but he wanted so badly for it to be true that he said yes instead.
Of course you are, son. I knew that when I hopped onto your branch, replied the caterpillar with a longer shadow on his face.
But I've never seen a tree walk, said Johnny, trying to turn the conversation from his lie.
Then tell me, strong Jonathan Delicious Apple Tree the Third, what have you seen trees do?
Oh, they grow tall, almost up to the top of the sky, replied Johnny with enthusiasm. And they hang their leaves way up high for the wind to blow through. And they make big red apples. And they make shade for the owner of the orchard.
Have you ever done any of these things? Prodded the caterpillar.
Well, I did make an apple once, said Johnny.
You mean that insignificant, ugly green thing over there?
The caterpillar asked, and then he began to laugh. And the more he laughed, the worse Johnny felt.
I am the poorest excuse for a tree in the whole world, he thought to himself.
But to the caterpillar he said,
I'll show you. I'll show you all. I will become the greatest apple tree ever. I'll show you. Show me now,
demanded the caterpillar as his mouth twitched and his front legs jammed the point of his crooked cane through Johnny's bark.
Pull up your roots if you want to be free. Pull them up, I say, if you want to become great. You are too fine a tree for such an orchard as this. Pull up your roots.
Now Johnny's roots were not very deep, but they were still very, very hard to pull out. He tugged and he struggled. He pulled and he heaved. For every root he managed to get out, two others broke off at the trunk. When the other trees saw what he was doing, they cried out to stop him.
Stop! No, what are you doing? You will die, little one. Get back in the ground where you belong.
But the caterpillar kept whispering to Johnny,
That's it. Good work, my boy. And pay no attention to those others. They are weak, but you are strong.
In this way, he kept Johnny diligently pulling himself out of the ground, root by root, for hours. At one point, the wind came up and blew so hard that the caterpillar nearly fell off the branch. But Johnny, at the caterpillar's bidding, bent his biggest leaf down to ward off the wind. And so, after great pain and much toil, Johnny found himself free of the ground, shuffling out of the orchard with a caterpillar riding triumphantly on his shoulder, shouting out,
Ah, this is the life, eh, my friend?
Exhausted, his roots painfully scraping along the ground with every step and tears dripping down his leaves, Johnny could barely get out the word, Yes.
Yes, indeed, J.D., chuckled the caterpillar, eyes narrowing a bit more. And we are going to make something big of you, or my name isn't Sir Winston Caterpillar.
Then he took a big bite out of one of Johnny's best leaves. And on they walked for days on end, over green hills and flower-covered meadows, past majestic mountains and beautiful canyons. But Johnny saw none of these because he was growing so weak and tired that his trunk was bending over, and all he could see was the ground right in front of him. He never felt the gentle wind because all he could think about were his raw, throbbing roots and how nice it would be to stop and rest. But the caterpillar, much fatter and happier than when they began, pushed him on, saying,
Keep going, Jonathan the Strong! Just over that hill is our destination, And I've been around just about forever, so I know destinations, or my name isn't Christopher Columbus Caterpillar.
But just over that hill turned into just around the next bend, which became just through the next valley. Once they crossed a stream, and the cold water felt so good on his aching roots that Johnny gathered his courage and said, "Why don't we stop here? This would be a good place to settle into." But the caterpillar rapped Johnny hard with his cane, spit out a mouthful of leaves, and said,
"Don't be foolish, boy. This is only fit for the commonest of bushes, not for a tree of your caliber. I'm surprised you would say such a silly thing. Quickly, out of the water and on to bigger and better things."
But as they trudged along, it seemed to Johnny that the ground only got harder and more rocky as his limbs got thinner and his leaves got fewer. When he asked the caterpillar about this, he said,
"Strong trees are not troubled by such things. That is why I'm sure they don't bother you, yes? I've been around just about forever, you know, so I know about you, or my name isn't Sigmund F. Caterpillar."
Johnny could only stumble on in silence. The days and nights grew longer, and there was no rest for Johnny Appletree, whose trunk was now so thin you wouldn't have recognized him. Finally, they came to a vast, treeless, shrubless, lifeless expanse of hot sand, which the caterpillar called a desert. Johnny had never seen such a place, and it was very frightening to him.
"Ah, don't be ridiculous, partner," exclaimed the caterpillar. "This is our destination. It is just the place for a tree like Jonathan Delicious Appletree III. Look how vast, how white, and it is all yours."
"But the ground is so hot," complained Johnny. "I will never be able to put down my roots. They will burn up."
"No need for roots, dear Jonathan," the caterpillar smiled. "This is your kingdom, and you will be the king of all you survey. You, the only living thing of your realm, shall walk this splendid desert forever. And I know about forever, or my name isn't the Caterpillar. I've been around just about that long, you know."
Suddenly, a question arose in Johnny's mind, which had really always been there, but now pushed its way up to the surface, startling him with its urgency. "Mr. Caterpillar, if you have been around so long, why have you never become a butterfly?" If the question startled Johnny, it had a different, more powerful effect on the caterpillar. Four more white-knuckled feet grabbed his cane, and it shook with the force of a terrible little explosion. His smile disappeared, and his face turned a frightening shade of red and then purple. His body coiled tightly around itself and then grew taut like the middle of a rope in a great tug-of-war. Now, for the first time, Johnny saw the narrow eyes widen, and the deep, black emptiness he discovered there was the most frightening sight of all.
"Fool,"
gasped the trembling bug in a voice much different than his previous high-pitched whine.
"I will not change."
From somewhere deep within the caterpillar, a hollow echo continued.
"Butterflies need the wind to carry them. They are at its mercy. I need no mercy. In no cocoon of weakness will I sleep. I will bow to no one. I carry myself."
The ranting and raving bug paused, gulping the air and letting his composure return.
"Or else I ride on someone whom I have chosen, whom I control, and whom I direct for my purposes."
Now the smiling shadow was back on his face.
"Someone strong, like you, Jonathan."
"But I am not strong," confessed Johnny. "I never have been." He began sobbing and shaking, the last of his leaves fluttering to the sand. "Look at me," he cried out to the sky. "I have no fruit. I have no leaves. My roots are nearly all worn off. My branches have become twigs. My trunk is bent. I am in the middle of nowhere with a caterpillar named, I don't know, liar. And I have no one to blame but myself. I am dead. And with that, Johnny fell over onto the hot desert floor.
You idiotic little piece of wood,
screamed the caterpillar, dusting himself off and straightening his glasses.
You have crushed my hat, and I have worn it nearly forever. You will pay, Jonathan Delicious Apple.
I am Johnny, interrupted the dying tree with his last bit of strength. Just little Johnny Apple Tree.
Very well, my weak fool, scowled the caterpillar. You will pay. You will spend your days burning on these sands and nights freezing under the stars. That will be your forever. I will see to it, or my name isn't...
The caterpillar couldn't continue because a sudden burst of wind had come up and blown sand into his face. Turning away as the force of the wind increased, he yelled to Johnny, cover me, quickly, the wind, the wind! But Johnny could not respond, for he had no energy, and not a single leaf remained on him.
The wind! Cried the caterpillar.
It was gaining force, and he was being blown away with the shifting sand.
The wind! The wind! I will not bow! I will not!
He cursed as he tumbled up to a small sand dune.
I will not, or my name isn't!
And that was the last Johnny heard or saw of the caterpillar, as layer upon layer of white sand blew across the desert and covered him up. But that wasn't the last Johnny heard from the wind. It continued to blow harder and harder, harder than Johnny had ever felt, times two. Then harder than he imagined possible, times ten. And then harder than that. And Johnny began to roll, turning slowly at first, but rolling ever faster, across the vast desert, faster and faster. His branches eventually all broke off, and only his round trunk and short, scraggly roots spun over the hot desert for what seemed like days. The wind never let up, and the sand hurt as it rubbed away Johnny's bark. And still he rolled faster and faster, the sand taking small bits of him as he rolled as a toll for his crossing. Then Johnny slept. He was so tired that neither the thunderous presence of the wind nor the relentless stinging of the desert could keep him awake. He dreamed that he was blown clear up the side of a mountain to the very top, and then he was carried by this mighty wind right up into the sky. All around him were bright, beautiful butterflies dancing in the air, enjoying the power of the breeze, gladly being swept along with a little flying apple tree named Johnny. It was the best dream he had ever had. So peaceful, so joyful, so free, so real, so happy. In his dream, he was so happy that he began laughing. He laughed in the air, and he laughed as the wind gently set him down, right side up in the ground. This felt so good to Johnny that he laughed all the more. So hard, he began shaking. And this is how he awoke. And when he looked around, to his amazement and delight, he found that he had been firmly planted back in his own little spot, in his own perfect row, across, down, and corner to corner, in the fertile soil of the owner's orchard. His limbs had begun growing back. His trunk was nearly straight, and new roots were diving deep into the ground. Welcome back, little brother, said the biggest tree in Johnny's row. And all the other trees joined in. Welcome back, welcome back. You have slept long, Johnny, she continued, quieting the others with a slight sway of her branches. And then she smiled. Soon your branches will be filled with ripe red fruit, sweet and heavy. That may be, replied little Johnny Appletree, but that is not my concern or my aim. I shall be well occupied sinking my roots. I understand that there is a great deal of ground below us, holding us up to explore. An eternity's worth, said the big tree, and enough to make a never-ending supply of apples. Then I shall go deeper forever, said Johnny. And the care of the owner, the peace of the soil, and the gentle company of the wind will be with you," the old tree replied. And all the trees in the orchard laughed as the wind blew through them, rocking their branches and tickling their leaves. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you for your word that comforts us and challenges us, that tells us the truth about ourselves and about you and about the world that we live in. Lord, we thank you for what you've told us from the Apostle Paul about the fruit of the Spirit. Lord, thank you for making Paul really smart and inspire him to help us to understand about the good things that we do and the good things that people see in our lives, that it's like fruit. It grows because we're connected to you. So Lord, I pray for each of us that we would seek to get and stay connected with you, and then to just let things happen according to your will, trusting in you, knowing that it is your desire to bless us and to use us to be a blessing for others and for you. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.